Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 127 on February 26th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. So, let's talk about my music. The new music that I had, you know, not very many people commented that they liked it. And I know how it is, you know, you get used to something and you give that kind of Pavlovian response when you hear the music that you've grown to know and love. Who knows, maybe your dick gets hard, maybe your ass starts to tingle, or maybe you go grab your guy and fuck him. But the original music has been restored, and I did get a couple of thank yous. But the new music is going to be kept and used as punctuation. Ah, yes, punctuation. Punctuation, you say? Yes, let me explain. You see, the lyrics say, "Free your ass and your mind will follow. Take it deep, now don't be shallow. Free your ass," right? So I will play that for people who clearly need that message, right? So let's jump right into giving you an example. And this is a perfect opportunity for someone who needs that message. The headline read, "Michigan lawmakers pin unconstitutional sodomy law to animal cruelty bill." Well, if that's not a "I'll click on that," I'm not sure what it is. Interestingly enough, when I researched it, Michigan is actually just one state of around a dozen to still have laws on the books against specific sex acts, even after such laws were deemed illegal over a decade ago. And this was like in 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court case Lawrence versus Texas. So I'm not sure about the use of plural in the title, because from what I was able to discover, the single author of the bill was Michigan Senator Rick Jones. I could be wrong about that, but he definitely is the main author, if not the only one. So now the real question is, what was Republican Senator Rick Jones thinking? So here is some text exactly from the bill, okay, that I'm going to read to you. "A person who commits the abominable and detestable crime against nature, either with mankind or with any animal, is guilty of a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 15 years, or if the defendant was a sexually delinquent person at the time of the offense, a felony punishable by imprisonment in the state prison for an indeterminate term, the minimum of which shall be 1 day and the maximum of which shall be life." So blah, 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 right? In the beginning, here is the part that makes it fucked up. And not in a good way, because fucked up can be really awesome, but this is fucked up in a bad way. "A person who commits the abominable and detestable crime against nature, either with mankind or with any animal," either with mankind? What the fuck? Who put that in there? Well, he just like fucked that up royally, didn't he? And, you know, I suspect he put that in there intentionally. But interestingly enough, when he got called on it, he refused to change it. And here is exactly what he said. Here's how he explained. "The minute I cross that line and I start talking about the other stuff, I won't even get another hearing. It'll be done," Jones told the outlet. Not sure what the outlet is. I took this quote off a news source. "Nobody wants to touch it. I would rather not even bring up the topic because I know what would happen. You'd get both sides screaming and you'd end up with a big fight that's not needed because it's unconstitutional. But if you focus on it, people just go ballistic," he said. "If we could put a bill in that said anything that's unconstitutional be removed from the legal books of Michigan, that's probably something I could vote for. But am I going to mess up this dog bill that everybody wants? No." So that's like two significant paragraphs and not one word about what we're actually talking about. No, you know, sodomy, no, not even the word fucking sex, right? Wow, way to avoid saying the scary sexual words. Oh my God. And basically what he meant by that is, okay, this dog cruelty bill is so important that I'm not going to fuck it up and bring that up and have to take it out and have it reaffirmed again. And he's right. People would go ballistic because people do kind of still go ballistic about sex. I can't believe that there are so many laws on the books in the different states that are unconstitutional that cover specific sex acts. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen these on the internet occasionally. Sodomy is illegal in a bunch of states. Even blowjobs, even oral sex is supposedly illegal in certain states. It's really, really kind of crazy. And nice to know that it's unconstitutional, but why in the hell are these things off the books? Probably because when you start talking about it, people fucking go ballistic. But the point that blows my mind is that he put it in there anyway. You don't write a bill like this and not pay attention to the language. You just don't. Because when the final wording of the bill comes out, you know how they do that thing where they've got strike-throughs of what the language used to be and what they've changed it to? And there's lots of changes that happen before it gets to its final state. So you can't tell me that there weren't a crap load of times when this idiot looked at this and saw that either with mankind or, right, so anyway, there's that. And, you know, what's the end result? No pun intended. To crack down on animal abuse, there is no more booty sex for Michiganders, or whatever you guys call the plural of people from Michigan. And so I'm assuming, see what I did there, that pegging would be included. I invite all you Michigan people to come on out to California. You can fuck asses all day long out here, and I have just the lube for you. So, Senator Rick Jones of Michigan, this song is for you, sir. Free your ass, your mom will follow. Take it deep, now don't be shallow. Free your ass. And now, let's get to your letters. In blog 124, you said, and I'm paraphrasing, that men who are into anal penetration need it periodically to keep them balanced. You might as well have slapped me in the face. That statement was probably more accurate about me than anything else you could have said. I do not have a female-led relationship yet, but I find after I go for weeks without stimulating myself anally, the urge just hits, and I have to put lots and lots of toys up my ass, then I'm good for a while. I just wanted you to know you were right on. And he signed it, love you. Oh, I love you too. And I'm so glad that you wrote in, because it's nice to get the affirmation that I'm on track. It really is. And I've heard this from a number of men, that it's kind of a way to keep themselves balanced. And there's something about it that really they need every once in a while. So I had to laugh, though, at your phrasing when you said you have to put lots and lots of toys up your ass. I'm assuming it's one at a time, but you don't need to give us details. But I appreciate you writing in and letting me know that I was right on with that. Enjoy yourself with your lots of toys until you find exactly the right woman for your female-led relationship. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this was a comment left on my pegging101.com website, and I believe the name of the article was She's Not Happy Yet. And it was a personal story of a woman who wrote in whose husband really, really wanted her to do pegging, and she wasn't sure about it at all and was having a lot of troubles coming to grips with and to terms with the whole idea of it, that she didn't like it, his insistence, and all those sorts of things. I did read this on another podcast, and it was a bit of a heartbreaker because she really did not want to. That's not the heartbreak part. She certainly has every right to decide what she wants and what she doesn't, but it broke up the relationship eventually, which was the sad part. So, this man was responding to that article. I have Googled pegging. Came into this because my girlfriend has asked me several times. She keeps fantasizing of pegging, wants to discover what it's like. I want to say I totally agree with Ariel, and that is the one who wrote in the original story. What she felt was true, and she just made the right decision of breaking up with that freak, I would say. With respect to you, Ruby, you are right with every single word about how you feel of pegging your lover, and I guess my girlfriend may share exactly the same feelings about it like you. If I do it, that's because my beloved one wants to find out how it will feel like to do it for real. However, I don't like the idea at all, but if I do it, that means I do it just for her and not me. I do know and understand how Ariel really felt like about it, and know I really worry about our relationship after this. Again, I feel that if I do this, I shall have it with my lovely girlfriend who is loving me. After all, I'm giving it to my girl, and being with a girl and doing it can be as sweet and tender as she is, because I'm not into submission or femdom. Above all, because I love her so much, and I'm willing to think about it just for her sake. Thank you, Ariel, for bringing this up and sharing it with us. I shall have a clear conversation with my girlfriend about it, and I'm really glad that you have someone who cares for you, and I hope he will love and really take care of you. All the best for you all, and thanks for you, Ruby, for this blog. So, a couple of interesting points here, sir. One is that you seem to be really pretty not interested in the whole thing, so I caution you. I mean, trying everything once, just to try it and see what you think, is a good idea. But I do sense that you have some fears about, like you say, what's going to happen to your relationship after this. Some of the common fears that men have about what's going to happen to the relationship after pegging is that perhaps the girlfriend will turn into like the whole femdom thing, and that's not what he's into. But more often, it's a fear of how she will look at him and how she will perceive him after she fucks him. That there is somehow a loss of masculinity or a loss of his manhood, which couldn't be further from the truth. But that is a lot of times what men are afraid of. So if that's the case, I really do commend you on intending to talk with your girlfriend about all this, because there's a lot to talk about that is connected with pegging in many people's minds. It might be connected in hers, it might not. It might be connected in yours, it might not. I do encourage you to listen to podcast number 112 and see what you think, because this covers all of that territory. And should you have some concerns that you need to talk about with her, then those are going to come up. And should she have concerns that she needs to talk about with you, those are going to come up as well. It just provides a really nice platform and puts it all out there in case any of these areas are areas that you need to discuss to feel more comfortable about it. But again, I do caution you of doing something that you really don't want to do just for her, because if you really don't want to do it, then maybe you should stick to it and not do it. But I get that you love her, you want to try it out, so let us know how it goes, and thank you for writing in. And yes, I do hope that Ariel has found a new guy and that she's quite happy with him, because the dynamic wasn't working between she and the guy she wrote in about, so it was actually probably better that that ended. But it's always sad when a relationship ends, but it makes room for new things. So good luck to you, sir, and let us know how it goes. Thanks for writing in. Alrighty, next letter. My wife and I started listening to your podcast about a month ago and have enjoyed it a lot. We had a funny pegging story and thought we would share it with you. The other night, I was on my back, on the bed, with both my legs up in the air. My wife was standing on the bed and squatting down to enter me. She had to hold on to the headboard to maintain that position. Needless to say, she was struggling to maintain this position and was getting very tired. I was getting really close and stroking myself as she was pegging me. My whole body began to shake, and I came so hard. Unfortunately, in the position I came, my penis was pointed right towards my face. My wife, half exhausted and with a great view of the whole scene, proceeded to laugh hysterically as I unexpectedly came in my own face. It was a very hot and hilarious moment. Anyway, we wanted to share a fun story with you to thank you for all the joy your podcast has brought us. That is a very fun story. That's totally awesome. I've heard that before, because one of the things I have heard many times about pegging and prostate stimulation combined with penile stimulation, that the orgasm that results is more powerful, not just how you feel it, not just more pleasurable and lasting longer, but with more oomph behind it. And what I like to say is men have talked about setting distance records or feeling like, you know, they're much, much younger again, because it's like, ooh, this is how I used to shoot it when I was younger. So that's totally awesome. I'm actually really not into facials at all, but I do think that it's a hysterical moment. I thank you for sharing that. So you would be a man uniquely qualified to let us know what it's like to get a facial. I don't think it's very often that men perform facials on themselves, so you are probably one in a limited number of men out there that have done that. I've heard that, though, in that position, that can happen. Hopefully, you didn't get any in your eye or up your nose. Thank you so much for sharing that story. It definitely brought a chuckle to my day. Okay, this was a comment on my Pegging Paradise website regarding the article Double-Ended Dildos. Hey, I was looking for a double-ended one. Although we are quite new to this world, I think she should enjoy it to the fullest as well. After a lot of comparing, I was quite okay with the Fused Tango, but then another comment made me look up the Wet for Her Union. This last one is made for lesbian sex, but looks interesting because it is supposed to be bendable in shape. That looks like a good aspect and made me think. Since the Fuse one is shaped, it doesn't look ideal to hit the P-spot in, let us say, doggy style, for example. Any ideas about that, please? Oh, I have a lot of ideas. First, let me comment on the very first line, where you say, I think she should enjoy it to the fullest as well. Be careful with your shoulds. If you have talked with her about this and she agrees that she would definitely like something to stimulate her as well, that's awesome. But if you're doing the guy thing, bless your heart, of really, really wanting for her to have pleasure as well, and being unable to just let go and receive pleasure, then talk with her first before you make this assumption. You say you're looking for a double, although you do say you are quite new to this world, and I'm not sure if that means that you've tried it with a flare-based single or not. If you have, and you're ready to go to the double, and she's on board, by all means, but make that toy decision with her, because it really depends on how her body works. If she really doesn't want something inside of her, then you may have made that purchase for nothing. So, as far as the Fused Tango, let's see. The one that you mentioned, the Wet for Her Union, that toy looks pretty decent in terms of it being made out of silicone. It's a good company. The bendable copper wire inside of it, I would wonder how stable it is in terms of if you bend it a certain way, is it going to stay that way if you get really active with it? That's one of the things I would wonder. So clearly I don't have any experience with this toy. It is kind of a cool idea that it bends so that you could have it bend towards the prostate in different positions. Know that you can also turn a flare-based single as well to make sure that it is curving in the right direction. If you're not talking about doubles and you're talking about singles, when I use the Fused Tango in doggy style, I do the same thing that you would do, or I think you would do, as a guy fucking a woman in doggy style. If you want it to point more down towards her G-spot and you don't have a dick that naturally curves, then you just kind of ride up on her a little bit so that you are pointing it down. So that's a possibility because the union between the two pieces in the Fused Tango is very flexible. So it's not too flexible, certainly keeps that connection really well, but it does bend so that you can pointed in different directions, so to speak, by doing exactly what I just said. So there's that too. And I did want to mention, since you didn't say anything about this, that you will definitely need a harness for this. Because again, I'm not sure how new you are to this and whether or not you have a harness or whether you've even tried it before. But again, I'm not sure how much you've done with this and if you already do have a harness. So you will definitely need a harness with the Fused Tango or the Wet for Her Union. Even though they're advertised as strapless, they are not. And I will put a link to the truth about strapless strap-ons. But please involve your partner for this decision because she is the one that knows what gets her off. And the clitoral vibe placement of the Fused Tango is really, really good. I don't know what it's like for the Wet for Her. So if you do end up getting the Wet for Her, though, please let us know how it goes. Let us know how you like it, because I'm interested to hear a review on that product. So then I think that's all the ideas I have for you about that. There you go. Here's another letter. Now, in support of your We Vibe Tango campaign. And then this man says, I added the tango to my, and then he put a link in here. And the link is a prostate toy. a vibrating prostate toy that has a spot for a bullet vibe. So he took the bullet vibe that I recommend, the WeVibe Tango, and put it in here. The letter goes on to say, I can't begin to tell you with the addition of the Tango, the prostate stimulator not only rocks my taint, but drives my prostate and all my internal organs nuts, including vibrating my cock and balls. Man, the prostate massager is so totally compelling with the Tango that I ride the device the full 90 minutes before I am aware where the time went. Now, I don't have to tell you what goes through my head when I put it on the rolling pulse setting. Sorry if I got too graphic, but your followers should know guys can enjoy the Tango also. And it's funny that you say that, sir, because really the most common use for the Tango, I think, out there in the world of regular people who buy sex toys is as a bullet vibe to stimulate the woman, sort of like maybe you're having intercourse with her and she takes the bullet vibe and holds it to her clit and comes or something like that. It is not normally nearly as well known for any kind of prostate stimulation, except in my world where the pegging thing happens. So yes, guys can absolutely enjoy the Tango also. We've talked about Tangos a lot already in this podcast. They happen to have the same name. The Fuse Tango is a double-ended dildo. The WeVibe Tango is the world's best bullet vibe. Thanks for writing in, sir. Have fun with that Tango. Here's another letter. First of all, I'm a huge fan. Thank you so much for helping to ease the stigma and taboo of pegging. I'm here because I have a question. My husband and I are very into pegging, and we have a lot of fun, but I'm on the far end of the curvy side. I was just wondering if you'd recommend any positions that would help me avoid putting all my weight on him. Also, do you have any particular techniques or methods I could use to learn to control my depth? We're currently using a strap-on with a flared base and are awaiting the arrival of a new harness and strapless strap-on because I had a male friend tell me that they help you gauge the pressure you're using as well as the depth you're reaching. Thank you so much in advance. So, the very first thing it makes me think of is definitely cowboy position where you have the harness on, you're laying on your back, he mounts you and rides you. That will also allow him to control the depth. The depth part can be a little bit of a challenge if you're using a longer dildo. If you are a lovely, big, curvy woman, then you're going to need a certain amount of length to make up for the extra part of the dildo that's not going to make it to him because of how your bodies match up. So that's definitely a thing with the BBWs. And if you have a partner that's a big guy too, or he has a big butt or that kind of thing. So that's necessary. But I know what you mean about controlling the depth. Sometimes what I do, honestly, is I just really want to have a little bit more free motion when I'm fucking the guy. But he's a guy who can only take it somewhat shallow compared to the toy that I have on. So I will just wrap my hand around the base of it so that I can just go in there as hard as I want because my hand will stop it. So that's one of the things that I've done. Ideally, what's kind of cool is to get a shorter dildo. And then if you really are the type of woman who likes to kind of slam it in there once in a while, then you can do it that way and not have to worry about how hard you're pushing and if you're going to kind of max out his depth tolerance. The thing is about getting a short one is that you really are limited to only certain positions because what ends up happening is if you take a position where you're going to need a little bit longer length, it'll just fall out all the time because you won't have it there. So, okay, other positions. First thing, I mentioned the cowboy position. You can also try doggy style. It really depends on how the length of your legs match up from knee to hip. That can be a great position. Sometimes it just doesn't work because the matchups of the leg lengths are totally different. Another one can be standing by the side of the bed where he is just kind of bent over and leaning his top half onto the bed, not laying on it, but just sort of supporting himself and leaning there, and you're behind him, standing and fucking him from behind. And what else? Let me think for a moment. Oh, so I reread your letter, and you had mentioned how you're going to get the strapless strap on, which I like to call double, and a new harness. Good for you. And yes, the male friend told you that they help you gauge the pressure you're using. Yes, because what you get is you get some sort of tactile feedback. I mean, if you're really tuned in, I can remember entering a guy and it was a slow process because he was a little bit tight. And I was balancing there and I could actually feel right when his sphincter opened and allowed my toy inside. And I think that is because it was so connected to me. There is a way in which, because it's inside you, you just feel more. And it's not like, oh, you can feel the end of the cock and everything, but pressure and tactile feedback, yeah, that's definitely at a higher level. And it's subtle, but it's quite real, the way that you can feel what it's like. So gauging depth in general is just simply about looking down at your toy and watching how far it's going in and getting your hips moving in a space where you're only moving back and forth in that certain range. That's what depth control is mostly about, and I'm fairly sure, don't know, not a guy, but I'm fairly sure that that's what guys do who have really long dicks when women don't want to have their cervixes pounded, right? They're just used to not being able to go all the way in. So it does feel lovely sometimes to be able to just smoosh yourself right up against his ass and just push in as far as you can, which is why sometimes those short toys are awesome. But otherwise, you know, the basic way to gauge depth is to look down at your dildo while you're doing it. Okay, if you're a BBW, there's a chance you might not be able to see that dildo. I'm just realizing that. So yes, then try the trick of putting your hand down there. Ideally, you're not in a position where you really have to hang on to things. What I'm thinking of, I don't know, I have this vision of you doing him doggy style, and he's got a leather harness on, either around his back or around his waist, and so you're holding on, and I don't know if you guys are kinky at all, I have no idea, but this is just what comes to my mind, right, so I thought I'd share it, is you're holding on to that with one hand, and then you've got your other hand wrapped around the base of the dildo, so you can really go at it, but you're only going in so far. Yeah, and hanging onto that harness helps you stabilize yourself and have a good base of being able to get some leverage in there. Absolutely. So yes, that's what I love about harnesses and belts and things like that, is having something, you know, it is kind of like riding something. It's absolutely like riding something. You need something to just kind of hold you there and create the leverage. So that's pretty much it. But let us know how it goes with the strapless strap-on. And, you know, when I'm thinking about the shorter toys that are fatter, or not necessarily fatter, just shorter, the Slow Drive by Tantus is one that's just 5.5 inches long. So that is one where you get in a nice, cozy, really is as close as you can be together thing, and you can just sort of drive it into him because it's only going to go so far and you wouldn't bottom out. When you talk about depth and gauging depth, I'm assuming that that's what's happening, even though you don't really say that. That's the automatic assumption that I would make, because the only reason you would need to learn to control depth is if he is experiencing things as being too deep sometimes. So yeah, the Slow Drive might be good. It's 5.5 inches long, but it's not going to work for a whole different variety of positions. And let me see if I can think of any more positions for you guys to try out. The only other one I can think of in terms of not putting your weight on him is if you have a really sturdy chair with no arms that you can sit on with the harness, and then he can face you and straddle you. I call that the chairman. And it's a little tricky sometimes to get in that position, but it's fucking awesome. He needs to lean back a little bit to insert it, and then he can just ride you. And you're right there, and it's intimate because you can kiss many times, and you can play with his cock. And same thing for Cowboy. So try those two and see what it's like. And then, you know, with Cowboy and with the chairman, you get to kind of kick back and be like the pillow princess a little bit. He's doing all the work, which can be fun, depending on what your dynamic is and how fit he is. But it is kind of fun for the guy to be able to control the depth, the speed, the angle of the penetration, because they know what feels best. And so they can kind of move their body around until it's just right and they're totally getting the most pleasure out of it possible. So try those out and see how it works. And thank you for writing in. Hi, Ruby. I hope you're doing well. I'm a longtime listener and have long fantasized about getting pegged by my anal-resistant wife. I recently worked up the nerve to ask her if she minded me using our dildo on myself during sex. She said she felt uncomfortable because it's too phallic. Last night, sex was not an option, for women's health reasons, but we were both horny and began to fool around. She started jerking me off, and I asked if she minded if I used the new small butt plug I bought while she did it, the Tantus Flirt. I inserted it, and while I craved something bigger and more stimulation, it was a huge psychological stimulation and definitely added to my orgasm. After seeing me moan and groan and spray myself with cum, she said she'd definitely be willing to take a more active role in anally stimulating me. I just wanted to thank you and share this with you, since I don't think it would have happened without the support I felt from listening to your podcasts and reading your articles. Best wishes. Yay! I'm always very happy when an anally resistant wife starts to come around a little bit. And you know, guys, for any of you out there that are in a similar position, this is something I do recommend. If she's flat out said, no, not happening, one of the things that you can do is to put a butt plug in while you are fucking her, or she's jerking you off or something like that. Let her see how intense your orgasm is, and many times something exactly like what happened to this man will happen. She'll get intrigued and go, whoa, because, you know, if you've got a good relationship, if you have a good sexual thing between you, if you talk, and if you've got the GGG thing happening, then she wants to give you pleasure. She wants to see you happy, right? So why wouldn't someone be intrigued when all of a sudden they've had sex with their partner for a long time and they try something new like this, and he just puts a butt plug in, and all of a sudden his orgasm is like really much more intense, and he's obviously enjoying it a hell of a lot. That can intrigue a woman enough to where she's like, okay, I'm on board with this. Let's check this out. And I'm so glad that it happened for you. I'm very happy about that. So the support, absolutely. I support you exploring your own ass 1,000%. And I'm totally right behind you, pun intended. While you take this very slow and try and introduce the concept to your wife. At some point in time, you guys want to listen to podcast number 112, it might be a good idea. Maybe not now. Play around with that butt plug for a while and have a good time. I want to hear what it's like when you fuck her with the butt plug in. And I want to hear what it's like when you get a bigger butt plug and put it in there too. The Flirt is a tiny little thing. I can see why you were craving something bigger. In fact, the Tantus Rider, it wasn't named after me. But Metis Black, who owns Tantus, she and I had a lovely conversation about it. I think she said it was named after a relative, like a grandfather or something like that. But the funny part is that the spelling is exactly the same. The Tantus Rider, R-Y-D-E-R. That is a good size. So I think you'd have a lot of fun with that. Thank you for writing in, sir, and tell us how it goes. Okay, next letter. Hello, Ruby. I have a question. Have you had any experience or could you give me any advice? While my wife is pegging me with a nice, steady motion, it feels really good and the pleasure builds and builds and eventually I explode. But it's not cum. It's clear and looks like pee, but it's sticky, a lot like pre-cum. It feels great when it happens. And after it happens, once, it will keep happening till we stop. I feel like it's similar to my wife when she squirts. I was just curious of what you thought. So what we're talking here is seminal fluid. And this is what happens. Your prostate is responsible for producing seminal fluid. The function of prostatic fluid is to carry the sperm out of the body. The buildup of prostatic fluid is why men usually use adjectives that imply pressure. Like, I thought I was going to explode, you know, I felt so full, or different things like this. Pressure and exploding, and, you know, these are words that are commonly used when men talk about being really turned on. So, that prostatic fluid builds up and builds up, and because she is fucking you, and you're getting that constant prostate stimulation, and you're totally turned on. That's why it's building up. But also, basically what she's kind of doing is like milking your prostate. That's prostatic fluid. That's why it doesn't look like pee. It's not yellow. It's clear. But that also is why it's sticky. It is pre-cum. And that's what prostatic fluid is. I'm assuming, but I don't know, that the sperm part is the part that's white, and then you mix them together and it's still white. But prostatic fluid is always clear. So enjoy that, because you're getting your prostate milked wonderfully. And it sounds like not just milked, but sounds like you're having these orgasms that are almost strictly prostatic fluid, which is totally awesome. So yeah, that's what's happening. Thanks for writing in. Now, here we are again, and you know what time it is. It's pegging celebration time! Ruby, I'm pleased to request you prepare the Pegging Celebration Time music. It made me very happy to have you read my previous letters describing our journey into this new world. In episode number 116, I was Last Night Was Good. In number 117, you told the story of how I brought up the subject via a series of text messages. And now, I'm pleased to share the story of the first time my wife pegged me. It was the beginning of October when I finally confessed to my wife via a series of very frank text messages that I wanted her to try pegging with me. In the months that followed, it's been a slow, anxiety-filled wait as we navigated our way into this journey. Which toys to buy, which harness, experimenting with fingers, then vibrating plugs. A few weeks ago, I sent her a list of options for both dildos and harnesses. She picked out her favorites, and they arrived in the mail. Then the countdown began. Valentine's weekend was coming up, and since we've been together for over 20 years, chocolate and candies seemed passé. So I asked that Valentine's weekend be the time. We finally jumped into the deep end, pun intended, and finally made my fantasy come true. I was nervous, anxious, turned on all at the same time. After a thankfully quiet night, we tucked one of our kids into bed. The older one was at a sleepover, so the real-world parenting side didn't wipe out our energy. After a little while of watching TV while the boy fell asleep, my wife wandered off to our room and got changed. Then she called me back into our room. Upon entering our bedroom, I was delighted to see she was wearing a new black and blue lace baby doll that highlighted her ample bosom. A tiny pair of black panties gave me plenty of room to grab her backside as we kissed passionately. After a few minutes, she suggested I remove my clothing and lay down on the bed. I did as she asked quite quickly. After laying down, she followed my request and lubed up her hand to warm me up a bit. I'd been wearing my Aneros Helix Sin plug for an hour or so to relax those muscles, but making the jump to an actual dildo made me want to make sure I was plenty ready. So she slowly took her time, first one finger, then eventually two. Pushing her fingers deep and wiggling back and forth, teasing my swollen prostate. She asked if I wanted more and I agreed. She added a third finger, and I was able to take that as well. After 10 to 15 minutes of fingers, I told her I was ready. She stepped out of the bedroom into our master bath and returned a few minutes later wearing the Sport Sheets Divine Diva harness, complete with a purple Tantus Acute dildo, delicately peeking out from the bottom of the baby doll. She wiggled it. We laughed at the situation. And then I pulled her down on top of me and kissed her deep and hard. She lubed up and we discussed how we wanted to try the first insertion. I suggested standing while leaning over the side of the bed. After giving this a shot, we decided this wasn't the best position for us, since I'm a bit taller than her and the angles didn't work out. I hopped up on the bed and got on all fours, but our angles weren't matching up again due to our height difference, so I laid flat on my stomach and stuck my ass up in the air for her. Another batch of lube added, and she came in a bit too fast. Yikes. So I told her to hold on and start again super slow. Eventually, slowly, she worked her way in, and we stayed slow for a few minutes as my body reacted to this wonderful new sensation. I'll admit, once I got used to it, It didn't feel as full as I thought I would, but that's a good thing. The dildo was just the right girth. After some time, we began to find our rhythm. She got used to this new appendage, and I got used to pushing back into her, getting maximum penetration. By the end, I was pretty amazed at how vigorous of a fucking I was able to receive. At one point, she removed the top of the baby doll because it was long and was getting in her way of seeing. I don't know. I'll have to ask about that. So she removed it and bent down over my back as she fucked me. The feeling of her breath on my neck, how her nipples brushed against my back, how I could look back over my shoulder and whisper to her how good it felt. Truly an erotic moment I shall treasure for a very long time. The intimacy at that moment just may have been my favorite part of the whole night. After a good time spent in this position, we agreed to flip over because I wanted her between my legs with access to jerk me off while she fucked me. So she backed out slowly and I got on my back. More lube. Then we once again discovered that angles would be an issue. She couldn't see where she was going and just blindly poking around. Upon retrospect, adding a pillow underneath me would have helped, but caught up in the moment, we just laughed and adjusted our plan. I rolled onto my side, put my legs together, and she entered me. I don't know, a side saddle? Keeping my legs closed allowed me to really focus on the sensation, and being able to look over at her and see her face as she fucked me was a great turn-on. Again, I was able to be amazed at how hard she was able to go, this being my first time. It felt great, the angle was wonderful, and we were having one hell of a good time. I could feel the beginnings of a hands-free orgasm coming, but I think it would have taken me too long to get there, and she was wearing down. I urged her to fuck me hard one last time, and she obliged. Then I asked her to come out of me and suck me to orgasm. I exploded all over both of us, waves of pleasure as we came to the long-awaited climax. We collapsed into an exhausted, sweaty heap and kissed passionately again. I teased her, joking about how much fun she'd had, when she'd been so nervous in the weeks leading up to the event. I asked if it was something she'd want to do again in the future, and she smiled, laughed, and agreed. Mistakes, learning curve and all, I'd have to say it was about as well as a first-time pegging could go. Side note, one of my big concerns was paying her back and making sure she was satisfied as well. Saturday night, we were both too exhausted. Sunday night, however, I made sure that she received the tender, romantic lovemaking that I felt she deserved, which then went from tender and loving to a thorough and vigorous multi-orgasmic session for her. So yeah, I guess you could say we had a good Valentine's Day weekend. That sounds like an excellent Valentine's Day weekend. And yes, I would have to agree with you. It went about as good as it could go for a first time pegging. That's awesome. And this is what many couples find out too, is that once you've got the harness on, once you're in bed and you're trying those positions, you know, you maybe have this position in your head that you've always wanted to try, and it's all of a sudden like, oh, this is not working because our bodies don't work this way. They don't match up right because of height differences, leg length differences, lack of strength in a certain position, all of those different things. So, yeah. And in that position that you were in, not just adding a pillow underneath you, but, you know, Liberator makes some awesome sex cushions that can be used for that. Whereas pillows, you put one underneath you, two underneath you, they kind of move around, they do all their thing. The Liberator cushions are really nice and firm for that. They have a ramp, they have all kinds of different things. I'm going to put some links in the Linkorama for you guys to check out. But I am so happy for you. Congratulations. I know it's been a long road, and I can't wait to hear more stories because it sounds like you really had a good time, and this is definitely not the last time. I have to say as well, I love how you made sure the next day that she got what she needed and that she was totally satisfied. This is what I love to hear with relationships, and it doesn't have to be exactly the same time. It doesn't have to be concurrent. It doesn't have to be the same night even. You guys can take turns. You know, everybody out there listening, that's who I'm talking to now. You can take turns like this couple did. It's awesome that you figured that out. So congratulations on your first pegging time. I'm happy for you both. That's awesome. Okay, here's another letter. Hello, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, asked to peg me about 5 or 6 years ago. At the time, I told her not a chance in the world, laugh out loud, but after Googling a bit, I decided I wanted to try it and went out and bought a Vacu-Lock, dildo, and harness. We played a few times, but I do not think we really knew what we were doing, didn't use enough lube, and didn't have enough patience. Anyways, I really enjoyed it and enjoy rim jobs and fingers, but she has seemed to have lost interest in all of the activities. Has anyone experienced anything similar? Any suggestions on how to get her more excited about this and into this activity? Yeah, I have some advice for you here. A lot of times when you try something out the first time and it's pretty difficult, it does require pushing past a certain sort of, oh, that was tough, so should we really try it again, to try it again. And it's good that you can kind of recognize maybe the things that went wrong. I would have to say that using the Vacu-Lock harness was a big mistake. That's not a good one. Not a good toy. But here are the things that I would suggest. First of all, rock her world sexually, and when she asks what you would like when she's in that moment of post-orgasmic bliss and she's like, what can I do for you? Tell her. Tell her you want to try the pegging again. Also, give her information. Tell her that you found out that prostates stay healthy with stimulation and that orgasms can be incredible as well, just like G-spot orgasms. And ask her if you can revisit the pegging thing. Then you can send her to podcast number 112, but of course you should listen to that first and make sure that it's something you think is the right fit for her. Because if she's having any areas of concerns, and there are many potential areas of concerns, this should help. So, and then also, tell her that there are some awesome toys out there now. There are tons better than that Doc Johnson that could probably get her off too. And if she says yes, do the positions first that require you to do all the work, like cowboy and things like that, because that would be a situation where the difficulty of that learning curve, at least in the strength and endurance and balance and grace situation, is all eliminated. So now I'm going to tell you that I got this message, and then I wrote back to this man telling him the information that I just detailed here, and then he wrote back to me. Thanks, this is actually really helpful. I have recently bought new sex toys, hoping that would get her excited about it. She didn't seem interested, though. I bought the Fieldo and spare parts jock harness. Do you think this is a good combination? And I wrote back again. Before you fine-tune the toys, talk with her and ask her why she seems to have the back off. It could be so many things, and if you just buy another toy, it may do nothing to help. Could be she's scared of being replaced by a real cock if you like anal play. Could be she feels like it destroys her femininity to strap on a cock. Could be it's too hard because she's never had a cock before and doesn't know how to use it. Could be her hormones are off and she has no libido. See what I mean? So to answer your question, the Fieldo isn't the best double and it is an advanced toy. You probably should start off with a few single like the Harmony, but the harness you have is excellent. He responded, hey, I sent her your podcast and it seems to have been met with a positive reaction so far. I responded, oh, yay. He responded, thanks for your help. She didn't tell me what was bothering her about it, but after listening to the podcast, she seems much more into it. We bought the Harmony yesterday and are going to give it a try this week. My response, let me know how it goes. I play celebratory music for new pegging couples on my podcast. Be happy to play the music for you. He responds, okay, the big day is tomorrow. I am kind of nervous. Even though I have done this, it has been a while, and I want it to go well, too. I can share the story after if you're interested. So, of course, you know what we have now. We have another pegging celebration time. Ruby, the big day was today. I have to say I was super nervous all week. I will give it to my wife. She got more and more into it as the week went on, and we both were excited to try today. I had to do some work and got home around 3 p.m. I was excited as I drove home, knowing what was waiting. I came home, and my wife was in the kitchen cleaning up. She told me to go have a shower and meet her in the bedroom after. I cleaned up and got ready and walked into our bedroom. My wife was standing there in stockings, bra, panties, and the harness with her hard cock sticking out. I got hard right away and got a giggle from her, saying something like, "I guess you like this look." She ushered me to the bedroom and got me on my back and started kissing and sucking my rock-hard dick. I was enjoying it, and then she caught me checking out her equipment. She giggled and said, "I guess it's your turn," and had me get on my knees and suck her dick. After a bit, I got on the bed, and she proceeded to give me a rim job, followed by one, two, and finally three fingers. This whole process took a while, but she was really patient. She then asked if I was ready, and I asked her if I could start by being on top, parentheses, good advice. I slid it in at my own pace, and after a bit it felt more comfortable and less like I needed a poop, laugh out loud. After I was on top for a bit, we tried doggy for a bit. It felt really good. I felt like I was about to come, but was not touching myself. Felt amazing. We kept that up for a bit, hard to remember how much time, but we were in the bedroom for a good 2.5 hours. We then switched to me being on my back. It was getting too intense, so I started jerking off as she fucked me. She was getting quite into it, and going quickly. I kept pumping, and then hit the point of no return and exploded. My first shot went flying over my shoulder and landed on the pillow, and then the rest on my chest. I think she kind of got caught up in the moment and kept going, though, and I was still lightly jerking off, and after about 20 seconds, I felt like I was going to come again, so started jerking harder, and I came a second time over my chest. I had heard about this with guys, but didn't actually believe it. After this, she stopped and gave me a smile and looked down at my chest and just laughed as she was pulling out. She bent over and started cleaning up the mess I had left and got a bunch in her mouth and then came in and gave me a big kiss, letting it drip into mine. I was not expecting this at all, but it was too late to back off, so I just kissed back. Anyways, it was the most erotic thing we have done in a while. We both had a lot of fun. She had to go out with her friends, so we really have not had a debrief yet, waiting for her to come home. Wow, that is an amazing first-time story. That was totally awesome. And yes, you are one of the lucky men who right off the bat has a multiple orgasm. You know, sometimes it feels so intense right after you come, but if the person continues, it can turn into a whole nother orgasm. And sometimes I think you just kind of have to take a deep breath and try and relax into that continued fucking. But I don't know. I say that, and like, I haven't been able to do that for myself once I've had an orgasm and someone just keeps going. I'm like, get your fucking hands off there. And, you know, it's too sensitive. So take that with a grain of salt, if you will, because some people it works for and some people it doesn't. But congratulations to you, because clearly it worked. I love the sense of fun that I hear, that you guys were having a really good time with it and playing. That's a very special part of it, and your story was excellent. I am happy and honored to have helped lead you through this, more or less, in our series of email messages. So it's going to blow your mind that I put them all on my podcast, but yes, you kind of had to maybe expect that when you said you would share the story. And this man I encountered on Reddit, actually, we exchanged a whole bunch of private messages together that I just read to you and are no longer private. But your identity is private, and that's what counts. I knew that everyone would want to hear this, because two pegging celebration times in the same podcast is always a red letter day, right? We are going to leave it in this happy place. There are links on my blog for you to follow me, on Twitter at Ruby_writer, on Facebook. I have a page and a profile. You can like my page and give me a thrill. You can also subscribe to my blog right there with one of those links on the left. And I put stuff on my blog that you never see on the podcast, pictures, stories, all kinds of cool things that just don't make it to the podcast. You can also listen to this podcast there. This podcast streams directly from my website. Click a link there, or you can get it through iTunes, or you can get it through a whole variety of different podcast downloader apps. When you check out the products that I talk about in the podcast and check out those links in the Linkorama that take you to Entice Me, please remember that purchasing through Entice Me not only guarantees that you're going to have the highest quality, body safe, non-toxic pleasure products, you're going to be supporting my work here at Pegging Paradise as well. And don't forget to use that coupon code RUBY for 20% off. You can call me at 805-500-6544 with your questions, stories, comments, fears, successes, wonderings, and adventures. Or you can write all those words down and send them to me, ruby@paganparadise.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. You are the best. Happy pegging.